Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
It's Brent Smith, Shinedown, new tour. Two new songs came out, which are both awesome songs, Dance Kid Dance and 365. Two completely different vibes. One's like a banger, one's more of a ballad, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think 365, we kind of felt like it definitely had a bit more tempo than maybe the last song that people were familiar with on more of like... maybe the more mainstream-leaning, pop-leaning type songs. So we kind of bumped up the BPMs a little bit on that. And Dance Kid Dance, we just went to the wall with that. We were like, we know there are certain people that are going, it's interesting. I had a friend of mine the other day say to me, are you a rock band? Are you a metal band? Are you an alternative band? Are you a pop? Like, what are you? And I'm like, we're just Shinedown. We play in a big sandbox. There's a lot
that's good.
You know what I mean? Like, we've always been a genre bending band because we're inspired by a lot of different styles and we're constantly evolving. So we felt like that it was, we felt like the right move with the first new material that people would hear from us, that we gave them kind of two sides of us.
Yeah. You know, in the 80s, the pop stations all played Sweet Child of Mine, you know? Like,
Well, the pop stations all played Nothing Else Matters by Metallica, too, back in the day.
Exactly. So it's like, that's a good thing. When you can't define, you don't want to be defined in, like, this box. It's great if, like, everyone's like, oh, these people like me, these people, everyone likes me. Like you said, it's just Shinedown music.
I like the fact that you're making a very, you know, realistic statement with that. Like, I think along the way, people started to get pigeonholed, or they started using boxes, or stay in your lane, or you know, you're only this genre. When you expand your palette, you know, sonically or what have you, you're just trying to reach as much of the audience as you can. Some days you feel like, you know, you want to throw down and rock. Some days you're a little bit more emotional. But that's the beauty of music, man. It constantly evolves. And I mean, the only thing that we've ever done in this band is anybody from anywhere at, you know, any time, we wanted them to be able to know that Shinedown has a lot of peaks and valleys and kind of like a roller coaster ride, but there's something for everyone.
Yeah. And this tour, the Dance Kid Dance Tour, one of the bands opening for you is Bush.
Yep.
And so 16 Stone, I think you were 16 when 16 Stone came out, right? So
like, pretty much, yeah.
How awesome is it that you guys now have this band? I'm sure you listened to Bush, right, when you were a kid, when you were younger?
Dude, I just was on a call with Gavin literally three nights ago. We were just kind of reintroducing ourselves to one another. We met like a while back, and we really hadn't had a chance to connect. But I got to give a lot of credit to Zach Myers and Shinedown for Bush coming on this tour also. He really was like, man, it would be amazing if we could get them for this. And then obviously having who we think is like the epitome of like the fearless female outlaw, Morgan Wade, is coming out on this tour as well. So there's a lot of diversity. But Bush specifically, having a 30-year anniversary for 16 Stone, then also I think the 20-year for Razorblade Suitcase, I might be getting those confused, but they have this kind of nostalgia era coming into their new record where they're still this band that is very much very current. And they're just a force to be reckoned with, man. Bush is like, they're badass.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, when you were 16, could you have imagined that now you're on tour with, and not only on tour with, I mean, they're not, you know, it's not like they're opening for, I mean, they are opening for you, right? I mean, I know.
No, we don't look at it like, everybody's got like a different time frame for the night, but we're all on the same stage.
But would you have thought I'd be playing last after Bush on a huge tour? It would never, you'd never imagine that could happen. It's awesome. Did I lose
you? No, I think that, I mean, you know what it is? It's extreme. It's extremely humbling is what it is, to be honest with you. It's very humbling.
Have you been invited to the Dinner with Gavin Rosdale show yet? Have you heard about that?
I just saw something about that. I think he had Brooke Shields on, or he's got Brooke Shields coming on.
Yeah, he has
on.
Like a bunch of people coming on the first season, but maybe he'll bring you on. Because he cooks for you and interviews you. That's pretty cool.
I just kind of saw some of this the other day and was like, this is rad. So, I mean, I'll take a free meal any day I get it.
Exactly. I saw you guys put up an Instagram live video. You were in Times Square and you're like, my first question is, how much did this cost us? This
We're like doing the whole thing like, all right, this and that, and here's the tour. And I'm like, how much is this costing?
Did you find out?
It's like 5 degrees outside. No, it was a blast, man. It was super, super fun. It was cool to be able to do it, announce it in Times Square like that.
Did you find out what it cost you guys?
Nobody wanted to tell me. Actually, they said it wasn't as much as I thought. And I'm like, okay, we'll just leave it at that. Maybe Live Nation covered it for us. It'll just bill us back.
Yeah. So you say 365 is like a love letter to your fans, right?
Man, it is a bit of... There's so much wrapped up in that song because that one really took hold very quickly. Last year was, for us, there was a lot of loss last year personally in our families and friends of ours that, you know, it was their time. And, you know, none of us know when it's our time. And, you know, our fan base over the years have really talked about how our music and the songs that we write really help them at times when they're going through just difficulty with what their daily lives can be, and how Shinedown is kind of like a security blanket in a way. It's very emotional when I think about it, but we've always been considered a cerebral band. Like, the lyrics are like the number one thing, specifically with myself and the guys. You know, we always focus on, you know, what the message dictates the music. So a lot of times, like, what are we saying? What are we trying to convey? So we're always talking from the heart. We're always speaking from the heart. So 365, you know, when I think about last year, Eric lost his father last year. I lost my granny last year. Eric also lost his aunt, his wife, Kelly, lost her sister. It was just a really, really heavy year. And I think that I remember when we were writing that song, 365, I remember looking across from Eric and all of us, myself, Eric, Zach, and Barry. You know, you think about these people when they pass away, and a lot of times the statement that's made is, I can't believe they're gone. I'm so sorry for your loss. And it's like, they're not really gone. They're everywhere. They may not physically be here, but they stay with us. Like, we represent them. We keep that memory alive with us. And as you go through your life, you know, the people that have passed on, they're still with you. You know, they kind of wink at you from time to time out in your life, you know, and let you know that they're watching over you. And that's what I mean by, you know, it is kind of a love letter to just the people that mean the most to us and the ones that teach us the most valuable life lessons. But also there's another side of 365 where, you know, you should roll the dice sometimes because you're not promised tomorrow. Life is very precious and you don't want to waste time because, you know, anything can happen and a lot can happen in a year. So whatever you're going for or whatever you might have been holding back, like, I don't know if I can accomplish this. I don't know if I have time to do this. I don't know if, you know, I'm going to be any good at this. Stop saying that and just go for it. Just lean into living. You know what I mean? Sometimes you just have to go for it, no matter what it is, and believe in yourself and, you know, allow yourself some grace to go after what you want in this lifetime and do it head on.
And if you make a mistake, give yourself, like you said, that grace to, okay, like if you're trying to lose weight or whatever, you're trying to stop drinking, you drink one night. Okay, I drank last night. Tonight, I'm not going to drink.
Yeah.
And forgive yourself for doing that. And, you know, I remember this interview with David Bowie when he's like, you have to be uncomfortable and walk into the ocean, keep walking until your feet are not touch or about to not touch the ground where you're like right there. And it's like, that's probably how uncomfortable you need to be. And that's how you should live your life in that kind of uncomfortability.
Yeah. And the interesting thing too, like Bowie knew that he was going to pass away. You know, he knew that the clock was ticking too, and he still continued, you know, to be as mindful of it and as art. He was an artist to the to the very last moment.
That
and
Lazarus also, video, the Lazarus video.
Yeah. And but also with that, like, the man lives on. You know what I mean? Like, if we ever want to visit him, even though he may not physically be here, but like, we can always listen to his music. You can always watch, you know, what he did. You can still, the thing is, like, younger generations, like, you can still be inspired by these people, even if they're not here. That's why, you know, emotion built with time, with awareness, with, you know, the space that we're all in with each other. You know, I've often said this. I think that we're all made up of energy. I don't think that we ever truly, we don't, there's never really truly a deceased moment. I think we just go out, if you know what I mean. I think we just, you know, whatever the next journey is, we kind of ride the lightning.
Yeah, and like even like at Aftershock this year, Pantera played with, you know, without Vinnie Paul and Dimebag Darrell. I saw the original Pantera probably, I don't know, 10 times. And I was one of those people that said, I would never go see Pantera without Dimebag and Vinnie. But I went, I saw them at Aftershock, and I see all these kids, 8-year-old kids, discovering the music of Pantera, who would have never, ever discovered that music. So it's like, to just continue the music like that, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, look, I mean, specifically that band, I mean, I knew a lot of people that when they heard the announcement of that, you know, they didn't know how to like take it necessarily. But I think that you got to understand that those guys that are in those positions for Dime and for Vinny, man, they're doing their absolute best to be respectful and to understand that they want the music to continue to be out there.
Yeah.
Everybody has an opinion about Phil, you know, Rex, same thing. But I will tell you this, I've never had more friends of mine, and I've not had a chance to see that lineup yet, but a lot of my friends that have saw it, they like they were FaceTiming me like in in the middle of it. And these are some of the most hardcore dudes you would ever, you know, that you would ever meet.
Yeah.
And they're FaceTiming me bawling. Like they're just like, I don't understand. Why am I crying right now? Why did this like get me?
Yeah.
Cause music, it's because it's powerful.
Yeah. You know, Zach was a huge, like, best friends with Dimebag.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's cool. Are you feeling this rock resurgence?
Because
like, you know, I'm at 98 Rock in Sacramento and we have the Golden One Center here, right? You guys are playing the Golden One Center. Papa Roach are playing the Golden One Center. The Deftones are playing the Golden One Center. Disturbed are playing the Golden One Center. All you bands that were in that category, like, you know, a little, like, you weren't all playing arenas your whole careers nonstop, you know? So it's like, this is so awesome. Then, and I'm feeling like new bands are coming up. Like, I'm really feeling a rock resurgence. You heritage bands are putting out some of the best music you've ever put out. And all these new bands, it's really a great time for rock.
Yeah. I think that, hey, look, I don't want to be the guy that, you know, or maybe I do. I think that, you know, we were talking earlier when we started, you know, our conversation about just the broadness of music and genre and what have you. I think last year you saw such a, not that country needed a renaissance, but last year it was kind of like this country just explosion everywhere. And it's still continuing to do that where, you know, you have these kind of genres blending in with each other and what have you. You know, the greatest thing about rock and roll is that it's an attitude. It's a way of life. It's not just a genre of music. The rock and roll community is some of the most wonderful people you could ever, like, they're the greatest strangers you could ever meet.
Yeah,
like, you
go so a rock nice.
Show, you don't need to be afraid. Like, I tell people that all the time. Metal shows, rock shows of that style, sometimes people are like, I'm like, that's going to be like frightening and this and that. And it's like, just go and see what it's like. And then they go and they're like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody is so like into it and it's, you're in a room filled with strangers, but everybody's there to have a great time. And that's the spirit of rock and roll. But I think in 2025, you're going to see definitely a rock and roll revival. I mean, at the end of the day, man, I've always looked at it as, there is something that you're never going to be able to replace. There's something special that happens when you take drums, bass, guitar, badass vocals, and a killer song.
Yeah.
Just something magical happens between us as human beings with that. So that's one of the reasons why you have songs that, you know, it's kind of like a declaration that, you know, rock and roll is never going to die.
Yeah. And you go all these festivals, it's all rock bands, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 people. So people want to hear rock. It's just people like you putting out great songs and bringing.
I'll be honest with you too. There was a song that came out last year that I was kind of early on. And I challenge anybody that's in the rock space to go and listen to this song. Cause it was a bit more of a, it was definitely more in the top 40 world and, you know, kind of like the mainstream in that, popular music, pop stars, or what have you. But there was this kid, Benson Boone, with a song called...
He's headlining Coachella.
So, but that young man, when that song came out, I was like one of the first like 20,000 views on the video for Beautiful Things. Like, I was like early on that. If you go in and listen to that song and
headphones... It's a rock song.
It's a rock song, man. Those guitars are wide open on that song. And that kid is singing his ass off on that. So, I mean, the influence is always there, man. It was one of the biggest songs of 2024.
Oh, yeah. I think Purple Rain is a rock song.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, listen to Purple Rain. If he wasn't a pop artist, that would be a rock song. It's like a Stairway to Heaven, like epic rock song. It starts slow and then it just goes crazy. And the guitar, it's wild. You know, Benson Boone, did you see the clip where he was at his concert and he saw a girl in the crowd? He's like, didn't I date you in eighth grade? And she's she's like, yes, I did. Like, he just called. He's like, oh, yeah, I was in seventh grade. You were in eighth grade. We dated. He's like, great to see you in the crowd.
Seventh and eighth grade, we dated. Holy crap. I'm getting older these days. My, oh, my. Good grief.
He noticed her in the crowd. How do you – I always like to ask people like you because you have an amazing voice. And you're not – you're. It's – like, I saw you guys at Thunder Valley. You brought Jacoby Shaddix out. It was awesome.
That's my dude, man. I love it.
He's the best. And that new Papa Roach song, oh, my God, is it good.
Ridiculous.
It is great.
That band doesn't miss. I don't care. Like, I'm happy to debate with anybody like about that band. That, you didn't tell you what Papa Roach is. Papa Roach is what I like to call that band is necessary. That's what Papa Roach is. Those guys don't miss, man. They work harder than anyone I've ever seen. They have the best attitude. They are filled with the most incredible positive energy, and it's all real, man. It's very, very authentic. Those dudes are necessary. We love them.
And you just described the way everyone feels about you. Because
on a good day, maybe.
You are known as being the nicest guy in music. You and Jacoby are right there. Like, you guys are always so nice. Like, you always have time for everyone. You guys embrace radio. You guys embrace everything. You're just the nicest guys. And that's why successful, because you've stayed kind, I feel, to every. You're always kind. And that goes a long way.
Thank you. It means a lot to me. It really, really does. We just try to treat people how we would want to be treated. We've never really strayed from that. You know, we were all born and raised in the South. You know, we were raised by good women, you know, strong women. I think that that's part of, you know, trying to be chivalry is not dead.
Yeah.
You know, we try to just be gentlemen.
Yeah, I was raised by my mom and my grandma also. Like, I you know, very strong women. So I was going to ask you, I always ask people like you who have these amazing voices, what's it, I mean, besides your ability, obviously, but besides that, what would you tell someone, like, just a little technique thing to singing? Like, what's it to sound better? Because you see all these people trying to sing karaoke singers just for fun. What's just something, a tip you could give them? Because, you know, I know you do a warm-up, but just what's something? Yeah. Like, I remember... I was interviewing actually Jacoby and Chris Daughtry. I forgot which one told me this, but they said you have to sing from the taint.
I don't know which one that is. That'd be a hard one. I don't know if Chris would have said that or if Jacoby.
Maybe it was Jacoby, but he's like, you have to like kind of sing from your taint.
You have to sing from your taint.
I've never heard
that. Oh my God.
Woo. So what would you say? What's your tip?
Oh, he took my answer. no, I would, honest to God, like for me, I wasn't taught, you know, my mother would tell you that I arrived into the world and I was singing from day one. What I've always learned is that if you, like my teachers, for me personally, it was Chris Cornell, Axl Rose, it was Otis Redding, it was, you know, Marvin Gaye, Sam Cooke, it was Nina Simone, it was Ella Fitzgerald, it was Billie Holiday, it was Ozzy Osbourne. And what I'm saying is, like, I would listen to a lot of diversity, like, what, you know, singers that use their voices as an instrument. Also, you know, people like Amy Winehouse, like, in a lot of ways, like, she was the last artist that I felt like truly used her voice as an instrument. So it's not that you mimic these people, but sing with them and, you know, listen to how their inflections are in certain things, especially if you're wanting to like be a songwriter or you want to like do your own stuff and what have you. And even if you're just covering, you know, the artist and what have you, like really focus on your pitch control, like be very, very diverse with who you listen to. And then the other thing is like control of singing. You just kind of have to be fearless in a lot of ways too. Like when you're going after big notes, your voice might break or your voice might not be so strong in that area just yet. But the more you do it, the more practice is always going to help you, you know. And I would also say, look, get out in front of a live audience because it's different because people can rehearse and rehearse and rehearse and rehearse.
Yeah.
As soon as you put somebody in front of an audience, adrenaline kicks in. You have all these different chemicals firing that weren't firing when you were just like in a rehearsal room doing the stuff. Like you got to get out there and tour or you got to get out there and play in front of an audience. And the only other thing, and not everybody likes it when I go down this road, but I've been doing this a minute and I would just let people know from my end, your body is your temple, man. So the more you take care of yourself, you know, the cleaner you eat, the more water you drink, the more you exercise, you're going to have a more powerful voice. You're going to have a better voice. You got to remember your instrument when you're a singer, you know, it's you.
Well, you look younger now than when you started, which is crazy. Like you look 20 years younger than your first album.
I think you're being nice.
I don't know. You look really good. Everyone always says that. Have you ever seen these reaction videos on YouTube to your music? Like Monsters, there's so many good ones on YouTube. If you're ever bored,
actually, I've never seen any of those. Actually, I've heard about them, but I've never had a chance to go watch them.
You should, if you're bored on tour one day.
What do you do? What do you type into YouTube? Reaction videos to Shinedown?
We'll type in Shinedown Monsters reaction video. But then there's a ton of other ones. But there's this family that watches all your videos. It's like a mother, a grandmother, and a daughter. And then there's there's all these groups of people. But
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all, you should check it out one day. It's really cool. Last two questions. Are you guys going to sell your Shinedown hot sauce at the merch stand at your shows?
1,000%.
That's good stuff. Yeah. That's some good hot sauce.
Torchbearer and Barry Kirsch. By the way, I'm just going to let everybody know that's all BK.
Yeah, I know it's his.
That is all Barry Kirsch. Like, you know, he did almost an 8-month flavor profile with Torchbearer where, like, it was going back and forth and back and forth. Like, dude, there were so many boxes of, unnamed, he was blending stuff with them and taste testing everything. And the other thing that was crazy about that, like, the symptom sauce, which was the Chipotle, you know, Barry did like two or three big hot sauce conventions last year. He did the big one in Brooklyn and won first place first year.
Oh, wow.
Which is like crazy. Like, it's not like awesome. A normal thing. So they have a hard time keeping them on the shelf. We're kind of in the midst right now figuring out like stores. And, you know, there's some people coming to us now going, hey, we would really, you know, like to, you know, get this sauce out into other locations across the United States and even abroad. But yeah, you'll definitely be able to get the hot sauces at the Shinedown shows.
So it's Shinedown, the Dance Kid Dance Tour, the two new songs, Dance Kid Dance, 365, both awesome songs. If you ever checked them out, go check them out. Huge tour, maybe one of your biggest tours ever.
Definitely the biggest one. So yeah. I would say to write, definitely the biggest one so far.
You're going to buy a ticket this year, support this band. The nicest guys in rock, great band, great live, just such a great live show. You got to go see
also
Shinedown.
Also, just to make a point about this, because I want your listeners to know it, when you buy a ticket, so $1 from every ticket on this tour is going to go to a wonderful, wonderful organization called Musicians on Call. They work with multiple hospitals all over the United States of America. They're an incredible organization. So when you buy a ticket to this show, you're also helping out a great organization.
Wait, is that the group that goes to like hospital rooms and plays for people who are sick? Oh, I love that. Yeah, that's great.
They're a wonderful, wonderful community of people. And we wanted to help raise money for them. So when you buy a ticket, you're also helping Musicians on Call, which is a great organization.
Brent Smith from Shinedown, thank you so much. Awesome talking to you.
My pleasure. Thanks so much, Abe.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. With our biggest sale ever, furnaces from $39 a month, furnace and air conditioning combos from $59 a month, plus 72 months interest-free financing and up to a $4,000 system rebate. Four Seasons guaranteed to beat any competitor's price by up to $1,000 guaranteed. So call today for your free in-home estimate and same-day installation.
For all the right reasons, call it 664 Seasons.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.